Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Run like a wild man.
I want you to struggle and I want you wrestling with them angels.
Is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct Neville Arena time is 9:25 p.m. Central Standard Time. The right time. Your digital audio device is tuned into the Orange and True podcast, brought to you by collegeandmagnolia.com. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. It is I, at CenterCrow2 on Twitter. At CenterCrow is where you find me on Venmo. To one side of me, via the magic of the internet, is the rumor monger, Ryan S. Starrett. The S stands for started from the bottom.
Sure, why not?
But we didn't. We started from 1-0. We started 1-0.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? We are 1-0 this week.
Started from the bottom in our 3-point shooting. How about that?
Lord, we did. To the other side of me, bringing you the full Fort Payne ASMR, the kind you pay extra for, the kind that's extra breathy this week, it is the AU Chief.
Dearly beloved.
Oh, I like this. I like that you are doing Prince. Is today Prince Day?
No.
Okay.
The song. It's called Let's Go Crazy.
Oh, that's right. I get it now.
I'm going to pot that down a little bit.
And also joining us, one second. Oh, that's James Jones' music. Oh. Jones,
how are you? Oh, man. I needed that last week when we did the podcast for getting rid of Harson, because we finally got rid of the bad potato man.
We did. The bad potato man. If you're listening to this, I would love a deep fried meme of Mr. Potato Head with a frowny face that we can just use as often as we want.
Someone did have a great one of Bruce and Harson, and it said, Bruce Pearl and this unknown rich man are enjoying your loss.
This unknown rich man. I mean, imagine what it would feel like to be let go. I had a friend of mine ask me, would you rather be, what's her name? The prime minister, former prime minister of the UK, who just got, I had to admit that she was doing a terrible job and resigned in disgrace. It just happened like a couple of days ago. Anyway,
Liz Truss. the one that was there for a month.
Yeah. Would you rather be Liz Truss and your biggest nightmare comes true and you're proven to be inadequate on the world stage and you have to quit and then resign? Or would you rather be the guy that follows Liz Truss? Knowing everyone's thinking, well, this guy got to be better than that. And I said, I'd rather be Brian Harsin, because if you fail, at least you got $15 million. I don't think Liz Truss had a buyout.
Probably not. Didn't her follow-up also resign like 48 hours later?
That doesn't shock me if that's the case. That's a mess over there.
Yeah, Liz Truss needs to get a contract from Jimmy Sexton.
Yeah, she'd have a buyout. Be paying her out. Jimbo would be the next prime minister.
How long do presidents have agents?
They already do once they retire and become speakers.
Yeah,
that's true.
Last week, Auburn lost to Mississippi State, but it didn't really – I mean, it felt like a loss, like an old-school loss, where you're actually bummed out for the team.
Yeah, yeah. Early on, it looked pretty bleak. It felt like, well, This is not great. Not going to be great for morale. And something to switch flipped. I don't know. And it happened before halftime, though. You know, I think halftime helped. I don't know if there were nerves involved, because all these coaches were doing, aside from the defense coordinator, were doing things they hadn't done before. Basically, everyone was doing things they hadn't done before. So, sort of new situation for everybody. Plus, I mean, there's probably few people that can drop a script as well as Mike Leach. So, the fact that they scored quickly isn't surprising, and a lot quickly. So, you know, that probably had something to do with it, but Auburn adjusted and, you know, stayed within striking distance going into the half. And that, after halftime, it was a ball game, like a real ball game.
Yeah. I think that speaks to the one thing this coaching staff was able to do in 3 days is just, hey, we're going to get down. We may get up. Let's, you know, keep believing in each other.
Keep going. They looked over when it got down. They looked over at the stabilizing face of Carnell Cadillac Williams, who never, it seemed, got anything besides positive energy. Like it was, he was nonstop. We're in this. It doesn't, come on, let's keep going. Stay the course. And those guys fed off of that. They fed off of that because they know that that's a guy who's been in their shoes before and who wants to win as badly as they do for the place that he's at.
Yeah. I mean, and it was obvious just watching on TV. Something was happening that I don't think's happened in a long time, including when Gus was here. Is it just – everybody was pulling in the same direction. And, you know, that happens in pretty much every facet of life. When you have a group of people working together that then have their backs against the wall, you know, everybody tends to pull together or fall apart, one or the other. But, I mean, it was down to even I noticed at one point Ronnie Brown was even like yelling at guys, telling them, you know, good job. Like he tried to support Robbie Ashford at one point after we had, you know, I think turned it over on downs. But even he was getting in there. But, you know, then you had Kendall Simmons down there. I just think everybody was pulling in the same direction, this football team. And that includes the non-Auburn guys on staff too. I just think everybody was, all right, you know, this is where we're at. This is what we've got to do. Let's do our best. And you know, it almost paid off. I think it paid off. Just didn't result in a win.
Yeah. And then you could play that game out several times, and there's tweaks here and there. And what I did like to see is that I don't think anybody was really upset at how Carnell Williams coached that game. It was more that, I mean, but he told the team, I left 16 points out there.
Yeah.
And it was say, the person good. Most upset was probably him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, sure.
Called the game.
Yeah. But I think he was, you know, you could tell he was really proud of how that team fought, and they hadn't quit. No. In any game yet this year, even in the Arkansas game, they didn't quit. But they finally, I think they finally felt something come around for them.
I would be shocked if it was not the exact same feeling that I think each and every one of us had. It took me the second Robbie Ashford touchdown. I like felt differently about this team than I had. It'd been about a year since I felt that way about this team. And I have to think it's this same kind of thing was going on with the players too. They never quit this year, but there was a, I think a big degree of them going through the motions, playing hard, but not, it's hard to describe. Not that there wasn't a goal, but there wasn't a singular goal. I don't think. And I think what happened this past week, I just think, especially in this game, I think they had something to fight for. And I don't really think that was the case before.
I think Carnell intimated as much after the game. He was like, look, I told those guys, if I see what we saw we've seen this year already, this is a loss, but we didn't see that. So
yeah.
It feels like it's not a loss because he saw guys do things that he hadn't seen them do all year. Yeah. And I don't think he's intentionally throwing the last regime under the bus.
Sure. They've gone out of their way not to do that.
But I think he's actually more like he is saying, look, there was a problem with the way we were playing.
Yeah.
And it's got to change.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've kind of gone out of their way to not say Harsin was bad. And I think a lot of that is like, you got to, if you're a coach, you don't know which one of those coaches is going to be on a staff in the future that you're going to try to get a job at.
Well, I mean, Derek and Carnell both have gone out of their way to like give Coach Harsin credit, which is, I think surprising to most fans, I would say, but they both like have gone out of their way to like thank him, to say, you know, he did his best, you know, we're grateful to him, all that, like all kinds of stuff that they don't have to say. I mean, Derek certainly doesn't have to say it. So, you know, I don't think it doesn't even seem like they're taking the high road. It just seems like they genuinely thought he was trying his best and it just wasn't working. So,
Right.
And we all know people that just aren't very good at their jobs. They might be nice people.
We know a lot of those people.
But you know.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
They usually don't get... Well, sometimes they do get promoted upwards. A lot of times they get elected, unfortunately.
Well, yeah. Oh, hey, it's the champ of the week. sorry, folks, at home.
I was right about LSU taking down Bama. Victory lap.
Oh, she was right.
You were right.
Oh, Squid picked LSU to beat Alabama.
She did. I picked them to cover, but Bama to win.
I want to say I did that too.
We were so close, guys, inches away from a double eagle Saturday.
Oh, buddy, were we?
Oh, man.
I don't know when the last one was.
About it too. Oh, it's
that didn't include Auburn beating them. Like,
yeah,
when was the last Auburn win? Never felt more like singing the blues Saturday.
Did we get one in 19?
I mean, no, besides the Iron Bowl.
No, because we were their loss, right?
No, they had two losses, but one was to LSU, and we were on bye that week.
Mm. Close.
Y'all keep going. I'll pull it up.
Boy.
Ryan probably wasn't even alive the last time it happened.
I mean, I know one is the 14 LSU game, but I hope that there's been one since then.
And it happened in 10 because they lost to South Carolina.
Did we win when they lost to A&M?
We may have been on a bye, though. You know
probably
what?
Not, because we didn't win a whole lot of games last
year. Well, it was early in the season, so.
Probably then, or was it the same day as State?
Or Georgia early in the season? Nope, that was the Georgia game.
Yeah.
No. Yikes! Yeah. Big yikes.
Yeah, I was gonna say because that happened while Chief and I were not downtown and everybody else was, which is usually the indication that we had lost, and I'm irritated about it.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. Boy.
Well, Ryan, the next time it happens, it'll be an amazing experience.
Yeah.
I hope you get to experience it one day.
Back to 2015 right now, and that's
September
19th. Week three, that's when we lost to
LSU, and they lost to Ole Miss.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
It's the 2014 LSU game.
Gee willikers.
For us, when they also lost Ole Miss?
Now, hold on. We've had many double eagles over Alabama in recent years. That's not on the football field. It's on the hard court.
It's a different sport.
Speaking of which, the Auburn ladies started the season 1-0 tonight. Auburn women's basketball with a 20-point win over
Coach Harris. Get her go.
Texas. They played Sam Texas Houston. Southern. They played Sam Houston today.
Yeah, Sam Houston.
The Cats. K-A-T-S. The Bearcats with a K. Sam Houston. In Huntsville, Texas, home of the penitentiary and a giant statue of Sam Houston and a penitentiary museum, which is as depressing as you might imagine it is.
Mm.
Yeah. Probably more depressing. Is there actual electric chair in there? It is horrible.
Used?
Like an interactive demonstration? Or?
Yeah, like the old one, if I believe correctly.
Oh, like, mama. It is.
It's bleak. It's bleak. Speaking of bleak, Auburn's three-point shooting against George Mason.
Yeah.
But it didn't shock us to death. Instead, we beat George Mason.
Man.
The Auburn men's Tigers defeated.
Didn't just win. They covered.
What is George Mason? I've watched that whole game. The George Patriots. Mason Patriots. That's right. 70-52.
Some kind of Patriot. He didn't even sign the Constitution.
He was annoyed, apparently, with something about it. And so he didn't ratify the Constitution at convention because he was, I think, too much of a libertarian.
What a dunce.
Like, he's like, no, actually, this is too much government. We need less than even this subscribes. So, yeah.
Yeah, just Googling George Mason Constitution, the first sentence is, he was suspicious of governments at all levels.
Yeah.
Ron Anarchist. Swanson.
I mean, maybe he was right.
Yeah.
As someone in the government.
You go far enough left, you end up coming around right, and the same thing happens the other way. You go far enough right, you end up going around.
Yeah.
He's a Zapatista. Yeah. So, anyway, he got beat, or school did, by Auburn. And it was a pretty convincing win over a team that did not look as good as they are ranked in KenPom. I didn't watch this game and think, man, George Mason's really good. This is a good win for us. But actually, that's a good win for us.
They're a borderline top 100 team. They'll be not a favorite, but a contender in the A-10 this year, which is usually a pretty good conference.
Pick to finish fifth in the A-10.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the A-10 has, Dayton, St. Louis, Loyola right at the top that are going to contend for it, but... Jordan Mason kind of came in with the reputation of being one of the better shooting teams in the country. You know, you never know going into game one how it carries over year to year, but
yeah,
They
had I think it was just that one guy that hit a few right at the end of the game.
They hit three threes in a row at the end of the first half, too.
Yeah, yeah. But into both halves.
They had two guys that hit two threes. Number zero, Devin Cooper, number one, Ronald Polite. For the most part, I mean, kept them in check. Those threes that they hit at the end of the game and the end of the first half really didn't make the game that close. I mean, it never got closer than, I think, 7 or 8 points early in the second half. Yeah.
It also helps that we kept their best player in foul trouble the entire game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Josh Oduro picked up that third foul right before halftime, and that was huge.
That's his own fault, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
that defense last night was smothering, and it was fun to to watch.
Yeah.
That's going to have to be what this team does. Yeah. Until it gets its shooting touch, it's going to be like, well, you don't get to score either.
I like that optimism.
If we're not going to score, you don't get to score either.
And the difference in some of the other teams we've had over the years is there's not one lockdown defender. There's no Isaac Okoro. There's no Walker Kessler. There's not going to be somebody that's defense, you know, gets them into the lottery or National Player of the Year. But so many guys are good on-ball defenders on this team.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jan Williams looked great. Alan Flanagan wasn't shooting the ball well, but played great defense.
He did.
Obviously, Katie Johnson picked up 4 steals. You know, this top to bottom, at least one of the guys at each position, because it's basically a true two deep right now. At least one of them is a plus-plus defender.
Katie Johnson played free safety a lot of times.
Yeah, it was great.
Like he gambled a little bit, but it worked out every single time, and he got his steals.
And it works because so many other guys are locking their guy up.
Yeah.
So you can have one guy that takes that chance and it not burn you.
Janai Broome and Chris Moore, I think, had like 4 or 5, like falling out of bounds and just grab the ball somehow and toss it to somebody on their own team. Like it was crazy to see. And I genuinely thought
Chris Moore was hurt when he tried that one in front of the scorer's table.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He went shoulder first into the table, and he was a little ginger getting up.
We were just flying after balls, and it was awesome.
Treyor, Dylan Cardwell, and Trey Donaldson are the only guys that played double-digit minutes and did not have at least one steal.
Wow. I like Treyor last night. I thought he was pretty raw,
but yeah, I mean, he's athletic. Honestly, he looks like a bigger Anfernee to me, like just from the way he runs up and down the floor. And he can be special. I don't think he's a one and done guy, simply because I think he's pretty raw. But he looked good.
I need him to show a little more confidence on the court.
Yeah, yeah. He just seemed a little, you know.
Well, when you're next to KD and Dylan, it's tough to show more confidence.
Dude, I love Janai Broome.
Janai Broome is the definition of got that dog in him, I believe.
He's my favorite player on this team.
He has a lot of large canines in his chest.
He is.
Yeah. She pointed out his unique trash talking strategy of.
Oh, it was great.
Going after guys while talking to his teammates, but
yeah,
they could hear it.
He was talking just major trash to old 13 over there, but he was talking it to Chris Moore while 13 was between the two of them. It was great. It's good stuff. And his dude's got post moves, which are just a rarity in the game these days. Pretty good. Every time he got the ball, I'm like, take him. I wanted to just dribble him down into the post and go around.
It is going to be a real part of the offense, is getting the ball to him in the post. And then if the second defender crashes on him, he can pretty comfortably dump it out to somebody out of the 3-point line. Or if not, he can take almost anybody one-on-one, I would think.
Kind of seems like that's the move, because Dylan had a few assists last night where he got the ball in the post and passed it out to the open man. So
these guys were a little bit undersized. You know, Aduro was their power forward, and he was 6'9", but not a ton of guys can 6'6", 6'7". Actually, I think back, Aduro was playing center last night. Auburn had a size advantage across the board.
There's going to be some games where that's the case, where Auburn is going to bully teams. And I think Auburn also, I think it was Ross Ellinger, somebody, a national guy, was talking about how Auburn is kind of taking the strategy of, if we foul every single time, they're not going to call all of them.
Yeah. They have been saving
Chris Paul.
Yeah,
that's the Chris Paul move, is I'm going to foul you every single play, and you can't.
On the other hand, they called 2 fouls on Zepp Jasper, the man that does not foul last night. It's like 2 quick ones.
And really it was the charges that just kind of stunted the offense in the first half.
The one to
Wendell after he had dumped the ball off.
I guess
the one where Wendell threw it off the backboard to.
Yeah, I guess it was a charge. Like I didn't even look back at it, but I was just like, man, that just killed the momentum. And I don't think I think we scored twice after that.
We had two more, and there was. I mean, they had tried to get the momentum back. Katie Johnson
again.
It's a fast break look.
That one
had a pretty open, an open shot at a layup and. Went up with the defender and still got the charge.
When the guy got the charge on Wendell throwing it off the backboard to Jani Broome,
his foot was in the circle, by the way.
I yelled out, "You nerd." I was so mad.
That was my first complaint about the refs of the season came after that.
The rule should be that if a guy under 6 foot runs into you, it can't be a charge unless you're also under 6 feet.
Yeah,
There should be no offensive fouls unless it's a blatant offensive foul. I got in your way and then I threw myself backwards 10 feet to make sure the referee saw it.
On that one, though, his entire right foot was in the circle. Like it should not have been a charge in any way.
The whole lane should be the circle. End of rant. There should be circle. The whole lane.
Yeah, I can go get down with that. Just draw at like halfway line down the middle, like push that way out. Or the free throw.
The league doesn't call that. They just don't call it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of my big observations last night and during the exhibition against UAH is that we do not dump the ball off in two-on-one situations. I mean, there was the Wendell layup off the backboard where you got the charge. But really, I mean, a lot of these guys were just trying to take a guy one-on-one when the trailing offensive player was wide open. Hopefully that's something they can kind of diagnose and fix pretty quickly.
Yeah, we had a few pretty clear lob opportunities on those. Didn't take them, which was kind of a bummer. But you know what? I'll defer to Katie's judgment whenever he's driving at goal.
Katie probably has been told, like, you're going to either get to the line or make a basket.
Yeah.
So you're
and that is something I do want to praise them for.
He's good at
so
that.
Much. Last year, we
got to the line,
to get to the basket. The free throw shooting needed some work, but they were going to the basket this year, and so often last year, especially the guards would drive the lane and then try and hit a fall away floater, and you're not going to get consistent scoring from that.
I need them to keep doing the two dribble pull up. Mid-range jump shot, because what's going to happen is eventually defenses are going to decide.
Oh, we got to go
stop defending that, and then three-pointers are going to be even more wide open. That's the hope is our guys aren't good three-point shooters. Maybe they can be good wide open three-point shooters.
I don't know. A lot of those last night were pretty wide open.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, when passed up several wide open three-point opportunities last night, which was
Katie took one of the worst three-point shots I've ever seen because it was just completely off rhythm. Yeah. He just decided to chuck it, and it just, like, bounced sideways off the rim. It was, yeah.
It's a shame Jani Broome doesn't have a three-point shot because they were leaving him wide open.
Yeah, there was about four possessions in the first few minutes that they just.
Yeah. He finally was like, I guess I'm going to take this one, and took one. And it wasn't bad.
It took Wendell until, like, the second half to attempt a three.
Yeah. He made
one. Whereas in the first half, he would have shot one from half court twice by then.
I want to say he was. 30%? It was either 1 for 3.
He was 1 of 4, two. But one of those was the completely off balance when end of the half play.
Oh, yeah.
Again, still struggling at the end of the half, which is
not
great to see.
I go back to like the Missouri game. Our end of that game play, and part of it was because KD was carrying us through that game. KD and Devin Cambridge getting offensive rebounds, but we just handed the ball to KD and just said, all right, go get to the hoop. I think that may be a better option than whatever we're trying right now.
I think one of the issues that we've done is we have replaced Walker Kessler, I think, fairly successfully.
Yeah.
I do not think, I mean, it's not possible, but I don't think we've replace Jabari in terms of having a guy that hey, I'll just get to this guy at the end of the game and he should be my best option. there isn't a guy on the team you're like, you know what, the best option for Auburn is at the end of the games, so-and-so takes the last shot. I couldn't tell you who I want it. I don't know if it's Janiah Broome. If it is, that's great. But if you can get your last shot to be from 3 feet away, I don't care who takes it.
Yeah.
You know? Right. So then that's what Janiah Broome's going to have to have.
I think right now it'd be Janiah for me.
Our strategy seems to be, though, let Wendell do it, but he's going to have to dribble around for the last, 20 seconds.
It should be let Flanagan do it, but we're still waiting on Flanagan to the lights to turn back on.
Yeah.
He's a senior.
Here's hoping. He's real quiet last night.
It'll come. I think it'll come.
He had a couple nice steals. Had a charge. Had a travel.
It's a trademark travel. Alan Flanagan travel.
His trademark travel is Bryce Brown's trademarks, standing out of bounds.
Yep.
At the 3-point line. It's
the Jason Witten false start. Jason Witten was good for one false start a game as a Dallas Cowboy, and Hall of Famer. But every game he had a false start.
Yeah, that was for me. That was Sammy Coates had to drop one early.
Yeah, oh, drop one early.
Yeah,
some of them Sammy would just be egregious.
Yeah,
yeah.
He might be, and honestly, I think one of the worst ones was the SEC championship game against Missouri, where he's just wide open and drops an absolutely perfect throw, and then the first touchdown in that game was the one where Marshall runs around for 10 seconds and then chucks one downfield, and he runs under it.
You know who was really good last night was Dylan Cardwell, who only had 2 points.
Yeah.
That was one of those I'm bigger than everybody else here kind of games. I mean, they fouled him several times. They could not get up with him on rebounds. I mean, there was one where they were essentially trying to drag him down when Dylan went up with it because there was nothing else they could do.
I think he should start home games.
Yeah, I'm for that.
Sit him on away games, but let him start home games.
Well, I wonder if Janai's better at a jump ball, and that's
probably.
But Janai's better, period. And we need him to score points.
Yeah, and I don't know. We tried it last night. We'll probably try something else. But I really liked the bringing KD and Dylan off the bench at once.
That lineup, that starting lineup was wild to me. I was like,
Chris Moore leading the team in offensive rating last night with a 165.
I bet he was great.
He was three of five. One of one.
One of one.
Yeah.
Tenacious.
To see it.
Speaking of from the line, were we like 30% from the free throw line yesterday?
No, they were.
Better than we were in the scrimmage.
The issue was we were 3 of 9 in the first half.
Man.
And then we were 15 of 20 in the second half. So cleaned it up in the second half. Now, part of that is I think all of Wendell Green's free throws came in the second half.
Yeah. He was 5 of 6.
And he was 5 exactly. out of 6, yeah. Good.
2 of 4 for Dave Johnson, 2 of 4 for Janiah Broome.
He had the most important shot of the game, too.
He sure did.
Actually, that was the one Wendell missed. Was he missed the?
Yeah,
he missed the front end of two.
A lot of pressure on that second one. Yeah,
yeah. But yeah, our free throw defense was much better than it was last year.
Jordan Mason shot 37% from the free throw line. So
jeez,
they actually shot better from two and almost as good from three.
I would love for somebody to track 3-point percentage of Auburn's opponents at Auburn or at Neville Arena versus at their home arenas this season to see how much the jungle actually affects that.
Yeah. So George Mason went 37% from the free throw line, 39% from two, and 35% from three.
It's a respectable number, I guess.
I mean, it doesn't matter how far away or how much you contest the shot. You're going to be about one out of three.
Yeah. You're going to get one out of three shots, period.
You can win a lot of games doing that.
You know, Wendell Green is a man who's been slighted by a lot of guys, a lot of people in the media, and a lot of people on Soch.
Mm-hmm. But he's a guy who
really well.
Yeah, if he plays like this every night, we'll take it. He might be all confident. He
looks so much more comfortable running the offense this year than he did last year. And it's something we've talked about several times now. It's just guards getting the second year of experience with Bruce. It always happens. Ever since he's been here, every guard that has gotten a second or third year takes a pretty big leap.
He had one of the
fall in line with the point guard ability, then Wendell's going to be one of the best point guards in SEC this year.
Yeah, he had one of the top five filthiest passes of Auburn Arena history last night. It was awesome. And Sharif Cooper has played in that building, so that's a.
Was it the early wraparound pass for the dunk?
Yeah, it was like a little scoop inside. Yeah. Oh boy,
oof. It was gross. I loved it.
If we're thinking of the right one, that was Dylan's only basket.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
It was a good one. But he had a lot of nice little nifty little passing. He was pretty tidy last night, and
if you put Wendell Green on the baseline, Katie Johnson next to him, and Trey Donaldson with the ball in their hands, who wins that race to the other end?
Ooh.
KD,
really? Yeah, I think it's KD. KD
looks explosive right now.
Yeah, like
he's also the most likely to dribble the ball away.
KD,
right. I would. Yeah. that's where I was going to go with it. I was like, well, KD gets there first, but they still have the ball.
What about the old NBA skills challenge where they have to dribble to the one end, make a layup, get the ball out of the rim, and take it to the other end as the finish line? I think I take Wendell because I don't know. KD might not make it all the way back.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Although Trey Donaldson's fast as all get out too. He just is so big. He doesn't look as fast as he is.
It's so weird. It's not like he's crazy tall. He's just like, just a brick house.
Yeah. I guess he was a quarterback and safety in high school, but he looks like a running back right now.
Yeah.
And he's still not like defined. He kind of looks like he's 18.
Yeah.
Like when he gets, a couple of years in the strength conditioning system, he's going to be just a monster.
He's going to fill out kind of like Jarquez Hunter and then just.
Jeez. He'll look like Nate Robinson is the only NBA player I can think of that looks like that.
Dylan had some pretty odd throwaways, one in both halves, where he just like. He got the steal somehow and threw it out. It should have been an easy pass. He just threw it right out of bounds.
Chief, did you understand what happened on that first one?
Because no.
He threw it out of bounds.
Yeah.
He very clearly was hit in the elbow.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was not a foul. They just said that it was out on them.
No, they called it a jump ball.
No.
They called it out on
Jordan Mason.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They shoved him in the elbow, basically.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out what
they gave us the ball and where the ball went out. What? Yeah, so that one was a little bit easier to explain. The one in the second half was just he thought KD was Jalen or something and threw a foot over his head.
Because on the broadcast, they were like, did they call a jump ball?
That crew was real bad.
What's his name? From the Colin show.
Doug Shouse,
Oh, the refereeing crew. I'm talking about the broadcasting.
No.
They're actually really good. The sports call in Auburn, their host actually was doing the play-by-play. He did a really good job.
Bill Cameron?
No. The younger guy, JJ or whatever his name is.
Yeah, JJ. Yeah, I thought he did fine. I'd really like having Joe Champy on there.
He was awesome.
He's always great.
Yeah, that was a good crew.
Do we know how Sonny's wife is? Anybody listen to the broadcast? Was he on radio last night?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I thought I saw him.
Maybe.
I didn't even think to look for him because he wasn't on the radio call the other night because his wife was in the hospital. So
prayers up for Miss Smith.
Sure.
We are Friday night. We play one of the worst teams in Division I.
Excellent.
So one of the worst teams on our schedule, at least. The South Florida Bulls, the Fighting Will McLaughlins.
That's right.
How many teams do you think are in Division I, Crow?
Is it 300 and something?
Yeah, they're only 186 in KenPom.
But they're one of the worst teams on our schedule.
Top 200.
Sure. Dude. I mean, they're no Georgia, but.
And who did they lose to recently?
That's a Q2 win, right?
They just lost to Southeastern Missouri.
They did lose to SEMO.
There was a kind of a bloodbath of like top tier teams, I guess, losing to not so good teams yesterday.
Just Florida State.
I wouldn't call South Florida a top tier team.
Did USC end up winning their game?
They did not. They lost by double digits to Lob City.
Now there's another one.
That hurts us. That hurts our drink the schedule, guys.
That's right. We played them.
Yeah. We need them to win a couple more games.
KenPom projection for this one is 78-57 Auburn.
Wow.
Actually, I don't care about KenPom, but everybody's KenPom running. If Auburn just wins all of its games, it'll win the national championship.
That's a good strategy.
Let's just do that.
KenPom ratings.
Let's just do that.
South Florida is absolutely a diaper fire of offensive adjusted efficiency at 349.
That was last year, by the way.
Last year, they were that's got to be the worst team. They were the worst team in America.
So,
did we almost last lose year?
We did.
Yeah, but we did not.
But we did.
All right. There last season, there were 358 teams in Division One. Their 25% shooting from three was 358th in the country.
Now listen, America. To quote Bernie Mac and to reference all of America, America. Ryan is going to try to sit here and tell you that they are a bad three-point shooting team because all of the stats on God's green earth show that to be the case. Do not let this make you think that they're going to come in here and just start lighting Auburn's nets on fire.
They will shoot no less than 40% for three.
No such thing as curses.
The nets are already on fire.
No such thing as curses. One set of nets are on fire in Brooklyn.
Oh, it might not be a curse, but Ryan has some sort of power. That's all I'm going to say.
Hey, if it helps, they weren't really any better anywhere else. So they were 43% from two last year, which was 352nd. And they were the 332nd free throw shooting team.
And so yet, they almost beat.
Well, not because they were scoring the ball.
We were just
58-52 win for Auburn.
Yeah, Auburn couldn't get the bronze out of a barn.
19 points in the second half.
Yeah. Historically, these games are pretty low scoring. Last year's 58-52. The two matchups before that were both under Tony Barbie. And Auburn won one of those 52-40 and lost the other one 49-61.
This should tell you how bad this program is and how much we should beat them. I expect us to have a bunch of funky lineups again. I think we're going to see a lot of that.
Yeah, and to everybody that wasn't really happy with the minutes mix or the weird lineups on the floor, it's the first game. That's what these are for, right? Mm-hmm. If it was the end of the game and we were still seeing that and it was a tie game or down, it's a little different, but this was a comfortable win all the way through.
I think Bruce doesn't know who his starting five are yet.
I'm with
you. Yeah, I think there's like eight starters but no stars on this team.
I don't think Bruce is tinkering trying to get everybody minutes. I think he is trying to figure out who's gonna play. And part of me is like
who's gonna play together, really.
If he knew who his eight were, he'd be playing eight.
Yeah, I think.
I don't think he's like, ooh, this is a fun chance to get everybody some minutes. I think he's like, I got to figure out who I'm trying to play.
I think the locked in starters for later, as far as later in the year go, are Wendell and probably Broom are the only two that I would say are locked into their spots.
When Chance gets healthy, that definitely throws a wrench in the 2-3 rotation. If Jalen keeps playing well, I think he'll continue to start.
Yeah,
it would take Trey or popping like Chuma in his sophomore year this year to get a starting role, I think. And Jalen's looked pretty good so far. So
yeah, Jalen's Mr. Dependable. I think that's. He's just a guy that's deceptively athletic. Like he just doesn't. It doesn't look hard when he's out there. It just doesn't look like he's playing hard, and yet he's usually where he needs to be. And I think every team needs a guy like that. Is lucky to have a guy like that.
Yeah, and I thought he got two. I mean, he was 2 of 5 from the field, but 2 of those were threes, and I think he had good looks at both of them. They just didn't fall.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean,
I'd like to see Zepp be more aggressive from three. If I had to pick a guy.
Yeah, did he take one?
He struggled
yesterday.
Yeah, he took two. He took two. He missed one of them bad. He missed one of them really bad. He was 1 of 7 from the field. That's not Zepp. I think the one he hit was a foul line elbow.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Was one he hit a jumper from there.
Yep.
He struggled a little bit last night. I don't think that's going to be normal.
Yeah, I mean, it's a new role for him too, playing that two. He didn't play the one at all until late in the second half.
Yeah,
It was just Donaldson and Wynn. I think you could read something into that. I guess I think you can chalk that up to Bruce knows that Zepp knows what he's doing at the one. Mm-hmm. So he has to put him in at the one. Zepp's got it. He doesn't need to practice.
Well, it's also that this team's got a lot more depth at point guard than it did last year.
Yeah, for sure.
You've got Trey, who's you're getting in these minutes now to see, hey, is he going to be ready if we need 15 minutes from him in a conference game? If Wendell has the flu or he's hurt or, you know.
Yeah, you never
know. Just like what happened last year. And then you've also got Chance coming in who may play someone at his, you know, probably has the ability to. So really you got 4 point guards in this team. You don't need to get the sixth year guy a ton of reps there.
Yeah. I'm holding out hope that Chance is gonna come in and shoot 50% from three. That's what I'm holding out hope for.
Yeah, that would be nice amazing. Yeah. It is nice.
We just need to keep feeding Chris Moore. He's shooting 100% from deep right now, so
Yeah.
Well, guys,
we have any more games next week?
Yeah.
The next game after this is going to be next Tuesday, so we will probably be recording next Monday.
Okay.
That's the Winthrop game on Tuesday the 15th. And if I remember correctly, there is a big commitment coming down on the 15th from 5-star Bay Fall.
Oh, boy. I wish we could get him here this weekend.
Some pretty big basketball recruits that are going
to
be here this weekend.
I would love to have as many basketball recruits as possible here this weekend. I guarantee you that Bruce and company have put out the call, you know, not official visits maybe, but like everybody get here that can, because I think that atmosphere is going to be insane.
Yeah, if you're listening to this and you're like, I wonder if I should go to the A&M game. If you have the opportunity to do so, you should do it.
You should. You should. Yeah. I had to give up my ticket, so that's unfortunate.
Go see Carnell lead the team in Tiger Walk, even if you don't go to the stadium.
Oh boy, yeah. I said earlier today, I think Tiger Walk, this Tiger Walk could rival the 1989 Iron Bowl Tiger Walk. Like I could see it being that big, that massive, that many people trying to get there. Because it's now it's kind of a families go, I don't ever go anymore.
Yeah.
But I could see a lot of people that don't ever go wanting to go. Cause when that was mentioned today, I was like, oh man, I wish I could go to that.
Cause it's just going to be a bunch of people who have all felt the release of Sweet Freedom.
Yeah.
At the same time, celebrating one of their own coming down. Like it's
one of us, man.
Crow, can you give us a quick refresher on how to dress for a football game that's going to start in the upper 50s?
That's good.
End maybe in the upper 30s?
You should probably republish your article.
Here's the deal. If you're listening to this, I want you to think about what you've got on right now. And if it's got cotton in it, that cannot be next year's skin. That's the number one key. Whatever is next year's skin needs to be made out of a fabric that's not cotton.
Ladies,
Silk. At least, Silk is usually what I was thinking
Silk
about.
Silk is Silk's a good option, actually.
At least consider leggings, ladies.
And men.
Gentlemen, guys? I can't recommend polyester thermal tights enough. I wear them under my jeans when I know it's going to be cold. It's great.
You get you a pair of nice, like, Capeline is a fabric that Patagonia makes. A couple companies have similar things to wear under your jeans.
Mine are from Old Navy.
You're going to be happy.
Yeah.
And you're going to get you a nice base layer t-shirt. The good news is that Auburn is sponsored by Under Armour, so you can find one that actually says Auburn on it, probably.
Brian, if they sell the Go Crazy shirt that Cadillac was
they do not, today, I imagine.
One. Well, they sometimes they have those things like the pop-up shops on game.
I have a feeling that was a special Dana Marquez special.
Yeah, but he's the only guy with it.
But
you're going to want multiple layers, and you're going to want one. But it looks like it's not going to rain, which is
take a jacket. News. Take a jacket.
30 degrees. Take two jackets, man. Well, it's gonna be cold.
I would, if I were going, I would take my straight up coat. So
yeah. Here's what you're not gonna
wear a hat.
You're not gonna want to decide. Man, I should have had gloves.
Yeah.
Once the game starts, if you're the kind of person who feels like gloves are a thing for you, go ahead and pack them in your jacket pocket.
Take some hot hands.
Yeah, you'd rather not need them and have them than need them and not have them.
You might think
you either need to have hot hands or Fireball in your pocket. One or the other will get the job done.
You might think hot hands are for nerds, but I tell you what, cold hands are for nerds.
Yeah. You get some hot hands and put them in your jacket pocket, and you just put your hands in there. No one has to know that you're a boomer.
Yeah,
you're doing a good job.
They make some you can tape to the bottom of your feet, too.
Man, I one time put hot hands in my shoes.
Oh, boy.
And it was because I was freezing.
Yeah.
I was camping out and it was like 25 degrees outside. And I was going to try to put hot hands in my shoes. And I like woke up, had them in my socks, in my sleeping bag. And I woke up in the middle of the night. And
literal inferno.
My feet were on fire. Like, I thought I had done like irreparable damage to the body.
Chemical burn.
Yeah. It was not a good move. So I don't recommend that.
Yeah. They make some specifically. Put on the sole. If you're gonna do that, they go in your shoe. Don't
just wear a pair of wool socks. But again, not cotton. Yeah.
It's not gonna be 14 degrees out there. Let's it's not gonna be too crazy.
And let's get a win. Let's get multiple wins this weekend.
I think that's quite possible. Yeah.
All right.
I like our. We didn't even discuss our chances. I like our chances against Texas A&M. One, Jimbo Fisher. Stupid, bad coach. Two, two. He's a fraud.
He's a fraud.
Three. That's not casually libelous. That's just true.
No, he's a fraud. Period.
Three. The atmosphere is going to be insane. And four, the coaches have had all week. I don't think this football team is constructed in a way that it could win a ton of SEC games, but I think we can win this one.
Yeah, so. I think we're in a good spot. Both teams are coming in very similar. I mean, they're both 3-6 and both on a 5-game losing streak, but one of them
now
is fighting for something else.
What does one of those teams have? Like a bunch of 5-stars on their offensive line.
On their defensive line and offensive line.
Yeah.
Yeah. The stat you need to know is that
weird.
Texas A&M is 121st in rush yards per attempt allowed. You know, a team with Tank Bigsby and Jarquez Hunter led by Cardo Williams might take advantage of that. It's just
Robbie Ashford, who's just really just going to run it every time.
Yeah,
yes, he should.
I wow, that is that doesn't feel like that should work out very well for them.
Well, and the other thing that Texas A&M is not really great at is protecting the pass.
Oh, that's right. I saw that.
Yeah, so they're even worse than Auburn is at it.
And we sacked an old guy from Mississippi State. How many times? Five.
Chief,
it was five. Now they dropped back. I mean, they threw the ball 60 plus times, but
boy,
if you look at, there was a stat, and this comes from Ferg's post game article. But if you look at true pass sets, where the quarterback took the snap and there was actually a reasonable amount of time for the pass rush to get there, we were on pace with having like a really good game. So it wasn't just, oh, we sacked them because they threw the ball 60 something times. It was when they did not have an immediate throw. That was when the pass rush got home. So that's, to me, that's the other key, is that you keep A&M behind the sticks and you keep yourself in front of them.
Yeah.
And this game may, so watching one of the Maction, watching Toledo Ball State earlier tonight, they put up, ESPN put up an ad for Texas TCU that starts 30 minutes after we do. I was like, oh man, I kind of wanted to watch that, but obviously, you know, we'll be going on, but our game may go fast enough that we can catch the fourth quarter, because I think, I don't know if we put it in the air 20 times.
I certainly hope we don't. We just throw it enough to make sure that we can keep running the ball. That's all we need to do.
I would love a, like, 10 for 18 for, but like for 175 kind of night.
From your lips to God's ears. Man, I would snatch your hand off of that right now. Good Lord. Yeah, I'm
excited. Are you talking about on the ground? Like 18 carries for 175 yards on the ground?
Hey, you know.
Maybe he had 18 carries for 108 against Mississippi State, so.
I just want like an out route, like to be a throw and one out route, pass and completion. And I don't know what I would do. I think I would be just so ecstatic. Or maybe a post route. Lord of mercy, I don't know what I would do for a post route.
I don't know. We've got Carnell as a coach. I think I need to see a running back throw a ball here.
Yeah, somebody's got to.
Which one?
It's got to be Tank.
Yeah.
I was going to ask Robbie Ashford.
Yeah.
I bet you Robbie could run a pretty good route, though. He's a center fielder. I mean,
we got Carnell.
He can track that ball.
Coach. We got Carnell at coach. Who does he put at fullback to reprise the Mike Allstott
role? Well, we were running a bunch of three tight end sets. I want to get an over-under from James. How many three tight end sets do we see in this game?
So I'm thinking somewhere around 60, 65 snaps, hopefully about 65 to 70. So I would say I put it at 10.
Okay, 10. All right, you heard it here. I don't know, contact us at @SunOfCrow2.
Yep.
Let us know what you're if you're taking the over or the under on 10.
Man.
Three tight ends.
Three sets. Tight ends.
I mean, I'm trying
to think of how many more, because there's a possibility we could go four.
Oh boy.
On the line.
Man. Look, whatever gets Tank protected to get out of there. Because Lord knows we need more guys in there blocking.
Guys, yep. if you want something on YouTube to watch, there's a YouTube user named Official Jaguar Gator 9 who has an 11 and a half minute video called Every Single Cadillac Williams Touchdown.
Oh boy.
And it's every touchdown of his NFL career. And it's great.
It's an odd username for someone to put that kind of work into.
He loves the Jags. He loves the Gators. Tampa. And making these videos for Carnell.
All right. Well, maybe just loves the state of Florida. So.
Yeah. Every touchdown that former Buccaneers and Rams running back Cadillac Williams scored in his NFL career in chronological order is the description. It's great, man. If you want to see young John Gruden and James's NFC South Panthers get scored on a few times.
Oh boy, who was the quarterback of those teams that he was on?
Those Bucks teams.
Yeah.
Chris Sims.
It would have been whoever was right before. Yeah, I was about to say.
That
was
I mean,
right
his first touchdown.
Colin Klein.
His first touchdown in the NFL.
No, Josh Freeman, sorry.
Like a 35-yard run. It was awesome, by the way.
He was he was rookie of the year, right?
NFL yes,
rookie.
He was.
Offensive
he won year. My he won me my fantasy league that year. Because I got accused of overdrafting him. And then I won the league.
He scored like three times against the Panthers. It's one game.
Mm. Yeah. Well, let me think. His
2005 Panthers?
His rookie year would have been that was the year we lost the NFC Championship game to the Seahawks. We were pretty good that year. But the next year, we were quite awful.
This is a Jake Delhomme-led Panthers team. Anyway,
yeah,
you guys, everybody listening to this, go out, support your Tigers. Let's get a couple of wins and have a War Eagle weekend.
Keep on cocking.